Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You pick the music on the way back Wednesday. That's how it works. 913-586-7610. Please include your name on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line so that you may get the credit.
Yeah, we did not receive any songs with the name Thursday in the title, but this is Thursday's Signals Over the Air, brought to you from Dan in Raytown.
There you go, Dan.
That works.
Yeah.
That works. You made up your own theme today, and we're just kind of rolling with it at this point in time.
Well, we only have one more theme song to go, and then we can get back to whatever it is you want to play, because we're at Thursday now.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd?
The Weeknd, yeah. I don't know if there's any songs about Saturday or anything, so.
913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. This was just a funny headline to begin with, isn't it?
I thought so, and then the names were even funnier. I was laughing when I was reading this article.
You know, we're getting closer to the draft. It's
probably should have been here yesterday.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. It gets to the point where I feel like the teams are ready. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's ready. I feel like the writers are ready. Like,
yeah.
The overanalyzation is fully underway, and
I even think Binkley's ready for this.
This from Fansided. Five draft picks the Chiefs gave up on too soon.
Okay. All right. Hey, that's a good article, right? You're like, all right. Yeah.
Where'd they give up on too soon? Jared Allen.
What do you think about that one? Because the haul that they ended up getting in return leads you to Brandon Albert and Jamal Charles. And they
a really good trade for a situation, though, that you felt like just got sideways just based on two personalities.
I think so, right?
Rather than football.
Right. Right. Carl and Jared.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, right?
Yeah. Rather than the football aspect of it. Like,
right.
We're just not going to make this work. Okay. We'd still like to have both of you here. Could you guys work it out? I felt like that one was definitely too soon from a player perspective, but they did get a good return for it.
So. They got a great return for him. Great return.
Brandon Albert and Jamal Charles.
Right.
Not bad. Not bad, right? So, Jared Allen wasn't bad walking out the door here.
Right.
Right. And good players don't often get away, but sometimes they do.
But you also have to find the way to maximize the return on investment. And I think they ended up doing that with Jared Allen. Now, as we've seen, though, Josh, that was Carl Peterson as general manager. Brett Veach is now general manager. I think Clark was still in charge of the franchise then. I think this was after Lamar had passed away. Maybe they just didn't want to pay Jared Allen, right? I mean, we see a lot of guys now in this day and age with the Chiefs where we do let go because we don't want to pay. Legarius Sneed, Tyreek Hill, or two to be named. But because the Chiefs are winning Super Bowls, nobody's talking about that. Nobody cares that they let those guys go. Back in those days, the Chiefs weren't winning Super Bowls, didn't have Patrick Mahomes, weren't the premier team in the NFL. What did the Time Magazine article call the Chiefs yesterday? I have it written down. The leader, Mahomes, the leader of the league's most important team, right? The Chiefs were not the most important team in the NFL back then. They weren't having the success. And so anytime you got rid of a player that you thought was bigger than the franchise, which Jared Allen was, people got upset. People lost their minds because the team wasn't having that on-field success.
How could you go ahead and give somebody that gives you a better chance to win
right.
and send them out the door?
Yeah. Right. And yeah. so now you're looking at an organization that has won two straight Super Bowls, won three of the last five Super Bowls, right? Been in the AFC Championship game six consecutive years. I think we're doing a better job, still not a great job, but a better job of not being wedded to an individual player. We're now wedded to our franchise, and we believe in our franchise. Back in those Carl days, you were wedded to a couple players because you were a 10-6 team and you weren't winning postseason
games.
What are we doing here?
We're trying to win, aren't we?
Right.
Well, not trading Jared Allen doesn't make us any better.
But that's no different than what we're doing now.
It really isn't, other than we've had the success to back it.
Right. And that does factor
in. There's a name on this list. I don't know. It dates back to the early 70s, like Ted Washington.
Yeah, I don't know. That we're not talking about the guy who was – we're talking about his father. 17th round pick in 1972. Yeah,
so that one doesn't really have any relevance. I don't know. They gave up too soon on the guy, whatever.
Right.
Joe Horn.
That's an interesting one because he went to New Orleans and became a really good wide receiver in an era – of Chiefs football, really, which kind of defined the franchise. We never really found that wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
You know, after Otis Taylor, there was a long gap between wide receivers till we got to Tyreek Hill, right? So Joe Horn was one of those guys, but I don't remember him being the playmaker in Kansas City
he was in New Orleans,
right? So you gave up on a guy that wasn't producing here, went to a better situation, and a lot of times guys switch situations, Josh, and they become better players. They get a better quarterback. They get a better system. They get a better opportunity. And he went down to New Orleans and played really, really good football.
Yeah, so it didn't – I mean, his Kansas City numbers in four seasons, Bob.
Yeah.
879 yards and seven touchdowns.
Okay.
You feel like you got a body of work, like it's 4 years.
That's four total years. Rashi Rice did better last year than Joe Horn did in his entire career, right?
And then went to New Orleans and, blew up.
Yeah, got a new lease on life.
1,300 yards, 1,200 plus yards, 1,300. He had four seasons of over 1,300 yards, two double-digit touchdown campaigns as well.
Right.
Late bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
System maybe two, whatever, but late bloomer. You feel like you got 4 years and you wouldn't have said, oh, you need to re-sign him for, what do you get, like 5 for 14 or something at that point in time? Yeah, you're like, oh my gosh, he's making a boatload. So I don't feel like they missed on that one. It was just a late bloomer.
But also, too, you look at who the quarterback was for the Chiefs when he was here. Was it Elvis Grbach? I don't know why I said it like Grbach, but I did. Like, you're playing with Elvis? And then who was after? I mean, like, it was – and then you go down to New Orleans, and, of course, you're playing with Archie Manning.
Another player they said they gave up on too soon, Marcus Peters.
Nope.
From a playing perspective, I get it, but they couldn't live with the guy.
No, the guy was a pain in the ass, and he wears out his welcome everywhere.
He was not nice to certain coaches.
Yeah.
That gets you out. Couldn't get along with people guys. So, no, I don't think I would have worried about that one either. And then the fifth one just makes me laugh. Because I don't think we have that soundbite still in
there. No, we don't.
Raheem Nunez Roches.
He's still playing in the NFL.
As John Dorsey once called him.
Right.
I think he was on that Buccaneers team that beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Am I wrong?
I think he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's with the Giants now.
I couldn't tell you where he is now, yeah.
But I think he's still playing in the NFL. Last I remember, he was with the Giants. Now, when that was it last year, 2 years ago? Hell if I know.
I don't know that the Chiefs gave up on him too soon either.
No, I don't think so either. He just went on to have a nice career in the NFL. I mean, he's played forever.
He's just a defensive lineman. I mean, you know what I mean? Like a...
Yeah.
Like a rotational defensive lineman that jumps on teams every year. Last year played with the Giants.
Okay, so he was with the Giants, yeah.
But he's got, is that only right? Four sacks?
Yeah, I mean, it's not somebody you would look at and go, boy, they gave up on that guy.
He has four sacks.
Yeah. In his career.
Yeah, that's a decade.
Yeah, it's not somebody you look at and go, oh, my God, we gave up on that guy.
Give up on that guy too soon.
No.
Other than it was a character and had the gold teeth.
Right.
And you had the soundbite that said,
Nunez Roches.
I don't think they really gave up on him too soon either. So kind of a nice try. Nice try at an article, but Jared Allen's really the only one I would say. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen him a little bit longer, but at least they didn't fumble the trade.
Right, they did not fumble the trade because there's a lot of guys that you look at, you know, in each sport where they trade a player and you're like, God, they got nothing back in return for that guy, right? How many times have we looked on the baseball side and go, God, they got nothing back for that guy? And in the NFL, a lot of times you just get draft picks back in return because that's the collateral of the league. If you can take those draft picks and turn them into really good players, well, then you're ahead of the game. And I think the Chiefs did that. Yeah. But, I mean, people want to blame Carl Peterson for making that trade. What if Carl Peterson was doing what he was told by ownership and not getting into a long-term deal? They didn't want to pay Jared Allen. Again, we're seeing what's going on here in Kansas City right now. It's not Brett Veach, you know, who maybe creates the rules. He follows what he's supposed to do. He's told how much money he has the opportunity to spend. And if they don't want him spending X amount of dollars, well, then he can't go out there and give that to them. So I think when people get upset, Brett Veach doesn't want to pay anybody, maybe you need to look a little bit deeper and go, well, they didn't want to pay Jared Allen back in the day either. That must be just the MO of the franchise right now, right? Yeah, that's why you need gambling. More money, pay more players.
Franchise of budgeting. Speaking of budgeting, I don't know what the number is. I just kind of like to know what the number is because it feels like the numbers are all over the place. Mm-hmm. Last week, we were discussing basketball and how John Calipari reportedly is getting like a $6 million
NIL budget.
NIL budget for his basketball team. We're like, okay, I guess that's the going price. This was a story going on yesterday. Ohio State reportedly spent over $34 million on its football program last year. It did include the coach.
Right.
And an assistant coach.
Right.
But also reportedly $13 million in NIL money last season, according to RJ Young, who was getting this out yesterday. The Ohio State boosters spent $13 million on NIL for the roster, $11-plus million on the assistant coaches, and $10 million on its head coach. Ohio State has the best team money can buy. I just want to know what the number is. I bet schools want to know what the number is. Like, what should we be spending?
Whatever we can.
What is the budget? Are we just operating now with no budgets? Because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You just gotta beat the other guy.
It's the Wild West.
You gotta outbid somebody sometime and just be prepared to spend. Because this is, I don't even think it's like out of control or anything. I just want to know what the number is.
Yeah.
Is it $6 million for a basketball team and upwards of 10, 13, 15 million for a football team? Is that where we're at?
I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. I think the amount of money that you can spend is the amount of money that you were raising that year. And that's where
your budget is what you can roll in.
Yeah. But that's where you start to run into trouble, I think, a little bit, because I saw the story yesterday, and being a big Buckeye fan that I am, I've got the sweatshirt to prove it.
You were probably part of that 13 million.
I scratched a check for $2 unless I didn't. But I looked at that. I'm like, I'm not even angry that, you know, this is the cost of doing business now. I mean, the world has changed in college sports. We've got to embrace that the world has changed. Fine, move on. But if you want to compete, it's going to cost you money. But spending doesn't generate the title, right? Ohio State spent $34 million. They lost to Missouri in the Cotton Bowl last year. So it's just like in baseball, too. If you spend the biggest payroll, the Dodgers, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win the world championship. It's how you spend your money, how you recruit, how you draft, all those other things that go behind the scenes. We see the big numbers for the NIL and the big numbers for salaries, but your teams are really made by those glue guys that are out there on the end of the bench or in the middle of the bench for you, right? Regardless of what sport you're at. But I just wonder how sustainable this truly is, because I think it's going to be harder to sustain success in college football now than ever before. Eventually your donors will get tapped out, and then it's back to square one, and it's each year. You're not signing multi-year NILs, Josh. Mm. This is every single year that you have to bring this topic up and discuss this topic and deal with this topic and recruit kids based on money. Not only recruit new kids, but recruit their own kids to stay and not leave for bigger checks. That's why I think you need to put in the fail-safe that we talked about earlier of, if we're going to have this NIL, you have to have rewards in place for kids to stay at their school Because if you don't, I mean, as Nathan said, it is the wild, wild west. You're essentially starting over from zero every year. Eventually, every coach in America and every sport is going to get burnt out on that. They're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't recruit a whole roster every year and expect to win and kiss ass to get money to go and do this. And then eventually donors are going to get tapped out, right? This isn't like you're going to a company and asking for advertising dollars. You're going to somebody and saying, give me some of your private money that you've earned over your life. And if that guy's retired, which most rich people are, where are you making all that money back from? And do you want to continue to write a check to a university? Because if you're writing NIL checks, you're expecting championships. And if you're not winning championships and you're not writing the NIL check anymore, oh my God, my head hurts thinking about it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
And it's not tax deductible.
I couldn't imagine working in that field right now. Administration,
right,
or coaching or any of that at the college ranks. Because there are no rules. There's no formula, and there seemingly is no structure.
Right.
And you just have to just wing it.
Like, it's one thing that
winging it includes spending willy-nilly with money. And, boy, that'd be tough.
Josh, I'm not going to lie. I'm getting anxiety thinking about it right now, right? Because picture yourself the University of Mars, okay? Let's just call it that, right? You got the football program, and you need a new building built because you want to recruit better talent. So you go to your alumni base and say, hey, Mars U needs a building. Give me some money. Everybody puts in, you build that building, and you move on. Now you're at Mars University, and you're going to your alums every year, and I need another million this year for this guy, I need another million for this. How many millions do these people have, and what's going to be sacrificed because now you're paying these players? Because no matter who you are and how much money you have, you still have a budget. You still have a limited amount of funds, right? Man, I gave you $10 million last year for NIL. Now you want $5 million for a stadium and $6 million for a coach and $7 million for another. Like, eventually, as an alum, you're like, I can't do that.
Not to mention the individual deals. Man, I thought we had our quarterback.
Yeah.
Then he called me back and said he needs another $500K.
Right.
Do we have it or not?
Yeah.
Are we telling him to get bent? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? And where's all this money coming from? What's going to be sacrificed? Because
he really liked the campus and he really liked the coaching staff, but Pluto University's got another 50 mm-hmm. grand on the table. Can we match it? Let me see. Hang on. I mean,
fast forward 6 months, that guy had a good year, and now, you know, Uranus U is recruiting you.
Yeah.
And I need another $500,000 just to keep him.
I just don't think it would ever stop. And you would never feel settled, and you think you have anxiety. I can't imagine some of these people having anxiety like that are in it.
Oh, and then
you wake up every morning and go, is this guy still here? Because right. I paid him.
And then you get to the middle of the season. Guy's not getting the playing time that he wants. Now he's going to leave at the end of the year.
Yeah, I was reading something about the spring.
There's no you can't groom kids. Like, you're going to be the starter in 2 years. The hell I am.
Yeah. The like the spring game. It was a story about Well, actually, this was Ohio State as well. The Will Howard kid that transferred from K-State, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
They haven't named their quarterback yet. Well, why? Because they have Will Howard, who was pretty wanted in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him with a new set of car keys and a smile.
Oh, good for him, man. Great. Good job, yeah.
But they haven't named him the starter because what? Because they got a five-star freshman there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they got another guy who was competing for the job last year. And they got like six quarterbacks there. But if you name a guy, you're on the risk of somebody else jumping to the portal 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
And you can't have any continuity. So you have to almost keep everything under wraps. And that's not fair to the kids either, right? When you're
who's the starter? We're not telling you.
Yeah. Why? Well, one of you might leave.
Right.
You get into those scenarios. Those aren't good for anybody, player included.
Right. Exactly. And if you're a quarterback and you're bouncing around from school to school to school, as we've said over the years, the hardest thing to do is play quarterback in the NFL when you have a different offensive coordinator every year. Thinking about a college kid now who's doing class, allegedly,
so
maybe
nuts.
And changing, you know, schools all the time. It's got to be insanity. Like, I know this is what we wanted to an extent. But there's got to, but I don't, I also don't need the NCAA getting involved because they'll F it all up.
I don't have the answer to how it gets corralled, but there needs to be some, eventually this will come full circle and we will get some type of structure.
Right.
I just still don't know when that's going to be. When
make it make be. Sense, Josh.
No.
But eventually, where is your budget? How much can you spend is going to be up to the old dudes writing the checks. Mm. I paid $1 million for that quarterback. Why isn't he playing? Then you're going to get that. I paid $1 million for that quarterback.
You told me that guy was the guy.
Why isn't he playing? And now he's going to, could you imagine?
He's got the patch for my car dealership right there on his sleeve.
Yeah.
Why isn't he?
Could you imagine spending $1 million on a quarterback, okay, and then at the end of the year that guy leaves and you went 2-10? Wait a second here. I just spent $1 million on that quarterback. We went 2-10 and he bounced after this year?
You told me he was going to be good.
You think I'm going to trust you anymore with the money? And then you start to get into those things. Like, there's so many just different branches of this whole thing that, I don't know, man. It's wild.
No, give me a salary cap and somebody else that picks the players and I just got to play. I just got to play them.
Professionals.
Pros.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So much better.
Yeah.
This college stuff is just wildly out of hand.
It's nuts. It certainly looks like this is going to be a heavy quarterback draft, and probably rightfully so. There's so many teams picking in the upper portion of the draft that absolutely do need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think draft night is going to be fun. We hope to see you all at the landing in Liberty. Everyone's invited to come on out. For our 610 Sports Radio draft party, Landing in Liberty, first night of the draft, Thursday, April 25th.
Right.
It's all brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Character Concerns will be broadcasting during the draft. We have day baseball that day. So we have the night all about the opening round of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The entire 610 crew will be on hand. But
Binkley's there already.
A lot of quarterbacks are going to be a part of this thing. It certainly appears, certainly at the top end of things. We could get, obviously, three of the first four being quarterbacks.
Right.
Some of the odds are out, though, from our teams in the division. Bo Nix, the favorite to go to Denver now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. Doesn't scare me type of quarterback,
right,
though. But if they went with Bo Nix, that might be an upgrade over what they've been doing. And the Raiders, the favorite now for Michael Penix Jr.
You know how much I like Michael Penix Jr.
You're a big Penix guy.
He is my favorite quarterback in the draft.
You like his big Penix energy?
I do like his big Penix energy. Who doesn't? Who did that? Was it Desmond Howard?
Desmond Howard, yeah. Yes. It was Desmond Howard, yes.
And they're like, what are you doing, man? Just got out of hand, right? Just like, oh, my goodness.
So
he's dealt with a lot of adversity to get here. He's grateful to be Washington's quarterback. And they know that every time he takes the field, he's going to bring that big penis energy. He's going to bring that big penis energy. He's going to bring that big penis energy. Yeah. That's right, Harry. Right. Let's go, baby.
I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
McAfee. I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
Dynamite drop in.
Yeah, fantastic.
But the Raiders, the favorite to get Michael Penix Jr. now.
And look, I'm not going to sit here.
That'll scare you a little bit.
It does. I love Michael Penix Jr. I do not want to see him as a Raider, but I'm going to go on record and say this right now. The Raiders are going to make the playoffs. They will be a wild card team this year. I'm in on the Raiders this year, Josh, like I was on the Texans. I think they're going to be a very similar.
With or without a new quarterback?
With a new quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going based that they get Michael Penix Jr.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'm going based that they take Michael Penix Jr. I love Antonio Pierce. I think he's the same style type of coach that Houston has in D'Amico Ryans. I think it's a guy that players love to play for, will run through a wall for. We saw what they did here in Kansas City. They're not afraid of anybody. They're not afraid to scrap. They brought some of that Raider mentality back. I know Penix Jr. has had these injuries, and every time I bring him up, people go, you know, he had two knee surgeries. I know, but Cole Reagans had two Tommy Johns. So just because you had doesn't mean you will have. And I love the way that this kid plays football. I think he's a fearless type of a player. The team right now and their coach have that FU attitude. I think the Raiders are going to be that sneaky team to be a wild card team this year. And I think Antonio Pierce is finally that coach that the Raiders are looking for that fits the identity of that franchise, gives them what they need, and they don't fear anybody. Now, it could go completely south, but I think they're this year's version of the Houston Texans.
So 7 of the top 13 could very well be in line for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We know the hit rate of quarterbacks.
So you're talking about 3 of those guys being truly successful.
And then all the teams you look at, you go, yeah, you need an upgrade.
Yeah.
Bears at 1, Commanders at 2,
yep.
Like no brainers, right?
Yep.
Patriots at 3.
Yep.
The Giants are questioned at six, but if they're just done, and Daniel Jones had those crazy eyes the other day.
Right. He had Adam Gase eyes. What the hell was that?
I don't know. So if they're just done with him at six, I get it. Vikings at 11. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
Broncos at 12. Raiders at 13. Gotta.
Yeah.
None of them have quarterbacks. Don't give me Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew with the Raiders.
Those guys are not quarterbacks.
Broncos
space
have
fillers.
Nobody. Vikings have Sam Darnold. Come on. Patriots have Jacoby Brissett.
I like
all of those teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that seven could. you want the seventh best quarterback in this draft and hope that somebody else, bunch of teams missed in front of you and that's the guy? Yikes.
Like, if you're the Giants right now, picking sixth, do you take the second best wide receiver or the fourth or fifth best quarterback and go one more year with Adam Gase eyes? And you have Rome Odunze or Neighbors or, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. on your team. Does that make you better? Give Daniel Jones somebody legit.
Or the fourth best quarterback. In this draft.
And whatever quarterback they draft, this is a guy we wanted. Right. We can't believe he fell. I'm
just saying the consensus fourth best quarterback sounds like a real big risk.
Right. I'd rather take the second best wide receiver, I think.
They were the only ones on that list where I go, nah, could you hold off another year? Maybe you give it a shot next year.
Right.
Because there's a bunch of ones ahead of you that definitely are going to.
Mm-hmm. But
and then you want to delve into how deep truly is this quarterback draft? Because it ain't seven. It's not going to be seven quality quarterbacks deep. It's just not.
And Caleb Williams will not be the best of the bunch.
Chances are, no.
Like, I like Bo Nix. I'm not wowed by Bo Nix, but I like him. I think he's going to be one of those guys that plays 10 to 12 years in the NFL, but he never does anything where you go, wow, you know?
And he goes to Sean Payton, maybe. I don't know.
Boy, have you seen this feud? Like, New Orleans hates him now. Like, him and Dennis Allen are battling over stupidness. Those two need to have a game versus each other this year.
Can we schedule that? Maybe a home and home?
Yeah. Get that done. Who did Sean Payton rip last year? The Jets, right?
The Jets, yes. The Jets.
How'd that go for Sean Payton? Yeah. He'd probably keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. A radical plan for college football looks like a lot of fun. We'll get to it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This one kind of takes all the days, so that's good. We could have just had it in one song.
Yeah.
But what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
I've always maintained this song should be illegal to be played outside of Friday.
You know, when this theme started, that's kind of what I thought. Is someone going to put the radio on and hear a song about Thursday or Friday?
Right, and think it's Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, because
it puts you in a good mood. You think, all right, it's Friday.
And you're like, oh, it's not. Quite yet. 913-586-7610. You pick the music on the way back Wednesday. Include your name so that you get the credit.
Yeah, Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure. Another group project on the text line.
All nice right. job.
Nicely
nice
done job. By you. Now we can get back to other
See?
Music.
But there are good group projects.
Right.
I never thought that was the case.
Did you ever like group projects?
No, did anyone?
I hated them.
I mean, I'm sure there's some slackers that did.
Right. I'm sure. You know, yeah, but those like are the people you didn't want on your group project.
You know, no, I love group projects because I don't have to do anything. But I was the type of like, I just want to get this thing done.
I mean, essentially, you and I do a group project every day, right? I mean, right? It essentially is what it is. Yeah. And I mean, Spectre was the big slacker in our group, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy did nothing. Yeah. And now he sits in a corner office and does less.
Yeah. So I guess we don't like group. Are we emphasizing that we don't like group projects every day?
Well, you always got to pick up for somebody who's not doing their end of the bargain.
Oh.
Show geez. Up late, don't Jeez. Care, think they're better than the group.
Wow. Yeah.
Other things are
Leave
going
for
on.
Coffee.
Yeah. Just disappear.
Respect to that.
Leave their chewed pens.
That's not part of the group project.
No. I don't know about you guys. I love working here.
There you go. Thank you, Nathan. It beats your other job.
Oh, wait.
Does it beat your other job?
Of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite type of law to practice? Are you an ambulance chaser?
No. That is the reason why I scaled back what I was doing is because I couldn't
do it anymore.
Couldn't take the ins and outs of the profession. You know, when I looked at it as a career, I was like,
right.
this is not something I can do for you know, decades.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. You're not going to find yourself on a billboard saying, call me if you've ever fallen at work.
That's right. That's right. And hey, you know, if you have been hurt at work, Mike's got this.
Yeah.
You know,
He's already got it.
He's already got it. Yeah, why right. do I need to wait in there,
makes
right?
Sense. Makes sense.
Did you dream at one time as a child of being part of Ruben's Case, Ruben's Cambiano, and Bryant? Does
I don't
that
know
predate
if I know
him?
That one.
Does that predate him? The old law firms back in the day?
I don't know. I don't know where that one comes from. The one I always found funny was the old running back, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. You know, so if
yeah.
you drafted him,
yep.
you would name your fantasy team the law firm.
The law
whatever.
Firm, yeah,
so
Ben Jarvis Green yeah. Ellis. Yeah, that was a Bermanism, wasn't it?
I
think so. But mm-hmm. yeah, Ruben's Case, Ruben's Cambiano, and Bryant. And then one of the Rubens left, and it was Ruben's Case, Cambiano, and Bryant, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That's how it works. Bands never stay together.
No, you know, you get the yeah. new version, and then Michael McDonald shows up and ruins yeah. everything yeah. for you.
Try to get a new Rubens.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you're more like Saul Goodman or more like a guy like, let's say, I don't know, top of mind, F. Lee Bailey?
Or
never heard of him.
Sam Waterston in Law & Order.
Mm-hmm. Do you
don't
watch
know,
Suits?
Don't know Law & Order. I know Saul
McCoy.
Goodman.
Do you watch Suits?
Haven't done Suits.
It's good. It's a good watch.
Haven't done Suits.
Yeah.
But... I hope I'm not Saul Goodman, right?
You don't
I mean,
want to be that
got
guy.
Such a like a reputation.
Yeah, you don't want to be
big clients.
Well, I don't know. He does. Do you envision and be honest?
And once he got out, it looked like he was happy. He went and worked at Cinnabon.
Yeah, he did.
Did
Brian ever go meet him?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No,
don't think so.
Be honest though. What Josh and I do every day.
It's a group project.
It is
that we don't like,
but we could go in a courtroom and argue. Like we don't know the ins and outs of the law, but if somebody gave us the law, like we could go out there and try a case.
Yeah,
here's
the difference between a lawyer and a non-lawyer: is the lawyer knows how to find the answers.
Right,
that's all they teach you in law school. You don't come away knowing the law on specific niche items. You're taught how to find the answers.
Mm-hmm.
The skills needed to be a lawyer aren't really as well preached and practiced in law school as the public would think.
Right.
So I've always said some of the most incredible and most intelligent people I know are lawyers, and some of the most idiotic, worthless pieces of what are
lawyers.
Lawyers. I've
yeah.
seen both.
You've seen both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're out of order.
Yeah.
See, we can do that.
No, you're out of order.
Yeah.
All you got to do is create doubt. Put that glove on.
I object.
It doesn't fit. You must have quit. Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how hard could that be, right?
Yeah. And we say, we got to go to break. We don't like something, just go. So the leak is out now, which is great. This is a major leak. Like, if you were like, this was like a conspiracy, this would be
after
like,
too
oh my
much
gosh,
drinking.
All this stuff gets out there. When it's thrown out like this, they want you to know about it. It's funny. So Sportico has gotten the hold of the Super League plans.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they got the presentation,
yeah,
that's been made,
which is awesome.
Have an 80-team college football division.
As Texas said, we're not going to participate in this. We have our own league.
16-game playoff, new conferences. They've even got an NIL plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't have the TV partner and the
well,
backing of. Yeah. Two of the major conferences. But right. other than that, there's at least something to talk about and something that may push the current system towards.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I don't know that this is necessarily going to be the end game, but does it get the conversation going towards maybe streamlining what you're doing in college football? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So the proposed Super League has divisions called the West, Southwest, Midwest, Northeast, Southeast, South, and Plains.
And Plains, which is where we are in the Plain Division.
The Plain Division includes both Kansas and Kansas State.
And Iowa and Iowa State.
And Iowa and Iowa State.
Can you get any plainer than Kansas and Iowa?
Oof, not really.
Oh, yes, you can, Nebraska.
And then Missouri's like, yeah, we're not in that plain thing. So Missouri was in a different division. But they're in the Midwest. So the Plains Division included BYU, Colorado, Iowa, Iowa State, Kansas State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Utah, and Wisconsin.
Kansas and Kansas State could run that thing, man.
And then Missouri was in the Midwest, which includes both Ohio State and Michigan.
That sucks. Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to that thing. We get out of the SEC to get rid of those teams. That type of team.
Right. Jump back with two more. Michigan and Ohio State? Hell no.
So there's an underleague division of 10 teams. It would be a rotating 10 teams mm-hmm. of basically relegation. You're in, you're out.
Right.
That would be a part of this every single season as well. The plan's kind of cool.
I love the plan.
And the division, at least for Kansas State's pretty...
it's pretty plain.
It's yeah. You could make a case for a bunch of those teams, but, you know, like...
Could you really make a case for Nebraska?
But Utah and Wisconsin are, they're sometimes good.
Wisconsin?
Iowa's sometimes good, and, you know, those kind of things, but not like, oh, I have to contend with the South, which is Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee.
Iowa couldn't score at a brothel.
Basically, that's a terrible division to be in. The West is basically the... Pac-12 all over again.
Yeah, the West is great. That's my favorite division because it is. It's the Pac-10.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. It's like the original Pac-10.
The original Pac-10, yes. Yeah. With Oregon State and Washington State back in the
back
mix.
Back in. Yeah. I love it. I think the West is phenomenal. And I think people will like that.
There's no like outstanding powers. Even the Southwest has Oklahoma and Texas in it together. You're like, oh, that's not that. That's got some juice to it,
is
right?
Is Oklahoma trending up or are they trending down? Kurt Nelson, respond.
I'm not sure. I'm
being
point.
Honest with that one. Where what do we think of Oklahoma right now? Are they like? Do we expect them to jump into the SEC and run roughshod over the?
I don't expect anybody to do that.
I don't expect Texas to do that.
I think they fit in probably nicely.
Expect Alabama to run roughshod anymore. I think this is wide open for Missouri in the SEC right now.
Cool plan. Don't know if it ever comes to fruition.
I love this.
We will
plan.
See, but it may be further some discussion. Boy, the White Sox were doing anything to cool off the Royals yesterday.
Did you see what they did to try to prevent the game from being played? They made it rain.
Yeah, they made it rain yesterday. We'll talk to Matty Q. Doubleheader on tap for the Royals today. Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, joins us for his weekly visit next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.